Right, let's pray as we begin. Jesus said, "Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them." Heavenly Father, as we hear your word this evening, help us to consider it carefully. And we pray that you'd enable us to use a large measure in our considering, that we would think hard with your help, that we would consider your word and meditate on it, and in the response you would fill us with knowledge of you, love for you, strength to follow our Lord Jesus, and joy for all that he has done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've got the Ladies' Craft Evening coming up. It's another event which is an enjoyable event, but it's also an outreach event because there's going to be a little talk at it. And we have other events like that, don't we? The Men's Breakfast we had with Rob Thomas and all sorts of other events like that. We like to plan these events so that our friends and neighbours and other people can hear of Jesus. But it's difficult, isn't it, to invite people to them. And we find that sometimes people turn down our invitations, and that can be very disappointing. And we can sometimes wonder whether it's worth it, whether it's still worth having events where we want to introduce people to Jesus. The world around us seems hostile to that idea. Perhaps we should give up. No. It is worth having these events, because it turns out it is actually part of God's eternal purpose that this message of Jesus, the message of great truth, the message of great value, is made known to people, that the mystery to them is revealed. And today's passage in Ephesians is a great encouragement in this. Paul was writing to people while he was in prison. Now you can imagine what that would make them think. Paul, the great apostle, in prison? Does that make him an imposter? Does that mean his message is not true? He's in prison. They need encouragement. And they get that from Paul in this passage. We also need encouraging, don't we, as we seek to help others to hear about Jesus. We need encouraging that it really is worth longing for people to hear about him and working for that together. Here we are in Ephesus. Here's Ephesus on a map. It's on the western edge of the mainland of Turkey, just there. And we've been seeing amazing things about Jesus and knowing Jesus as we've gone through the book so far. And you can see, if you use the internet, that's where our sermons are. And I've tried to get a lot of our evening sermons up onto that page. So if you want to listen again, you can. As we get to this passage, he's about to pray, verse 1, for this reason, in other words, because of all that I've been saying about Jesus, bringing together Jew and Gentile, breaking down the barrier of hostility between them and between God, bringing them together and together to God. Because of that, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And then he remembers something he wants to say to them, and he breaks off into something else. He'll continue the prayer back down in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. So as if we have a little break, as he mentions something else, and he's going to explain something about how come he knows about Jesus and why it's important that they know, and we know, and make it known. And in this passage, we've got three proclamations, three announcements, and coming from those, three implications, three things that follow. Three proclamations, three implications. So here's the first proclamation. God makes known the mystery to Paul. God does the first bit of proclaiming. He proclaims the mystery, we'll see what that is in a minute, to Paul. God is at work. This is verses 2 to 6. And in these verses we discover that Paul has got special insight from God. Verses 2 to 5. Have a look at verse 2. "Surely you have heard," he says to the Ephesians, "surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. God has given a special gift to Paul. And this special gift, by God's grace, is a message. It's a mystery made known. Now, he's talking about the good news of Jesus. He's not saying it's mysterious, sort of unfathomable, something you can't work out, something you can never understand. No, he's saying that it was hidden, but it's been made known. It's that kind of mystery. Hidden and revealed. At the moment on telly, there's a programme called The City in the Sky, and it's about aeroplanes. It's great, so I like that. And one of the things on it was something about the wing. And wings on aeroplanes are a bit of a mystery, aren't they? If you watch on these huge airliners, jumbo jet and A380 take off, it's all because of the wing. And you think, how on earth does that work? But it can be explained. I won't do it now, but if you ask me over coffee, I'd be delighted to. It's a mystery that can be explained. So something hidden that you don't understand, maybe, that can be revealed and made known. So you don't have to remain in the dark about how a wing works if you don't want to. And it's the same with the gospel. The gospel is hidden, and before the time of the New Testament, there were lots of things about the gospel that weren't made known, but God has revealed it, and he's revealed it to Paul. Verse 4, Paul explains, well, he really answers the question, how come you know all this? Verse 4, in reading this then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. So this wasn't known in its totality before. God has made it known now, in Paul's time, to people like Paul, the apostles and prophets. God the Spirit has made it known to the New Testament authors. What has been revealed? Verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, non-Jews, are heirs together with Israel, the Jews, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Let me catch up here. The mystery of truth revealed. And the mystery is that Gentiles are co-heirs, co-members, co-sharers with the Jews. We've already seen this, didn't we? We saw this last week as he was explaining about the hostility being broken down. And it's through the gospel, through the cross. It's verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel, in other words, through all that Jesus has done in dying and rising again. Now, the more attentive of you might be thinking, hang on a minute, if when we do a Bible overview, don't we see that the fact that the Gentiles are something a part of God's plan, isn't that something that we see all the way from the beginning of the Bible with the promise to Abraham? When God says to Abraham that through his descendants, all nations on earth will be blessed. And don't we see it in Isaiah, for example, Isaiah 2, verse 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. And so on. Isn't this something we see in the Old Testament? Well, yes, it is. But there's something about the unity and equality of Jew and Gentile, or Gentile and Jew, that Paul has been given new insight into. And there's something about kind of putting all those bits of the Old Testament together so they make sense that Paul has had revealed to him by God. And if you think of it, it's an amazing revelation because he was one of the strictest Jews. He was someone who persecuted Christians. He thought that their message was so appalling originally that he wanted to kill them. He loathed Gentiles. He wouldn't have been anywhere near a non-Jew. Until that day on the Damascus Road when the Lord Jesus appeared to him himself and said to Paul that he would be sent out to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. So Paul is a very special person. He gets a bit of a bad press amongst some Christians, and that's completely wrong. People discredit his teaching, and they shouldn't do. If you think of it, he's got great references. Queen's birthday today, and sometimes we can buy things like breakfast cereal and jam, can't we, that are by appointment to Her Majesty the Queen. Have you seen that? Little crown on them, you think, oh, that must be delicious marmalade because the Queen eats it. He's got great references. Well, Paul has got great references. He has got the truth from God. It's amazing, isn't it? Here, verse 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. made known to him by revelation. We get God's truth. God has made known the mystery to Paul. That's the first proclamation. Here's the second. Paul makes known the mystery to people. It's a bit like a relay race, isn't it? So God's got the baton to start with, and he hands it to Paul. And then Paul hands it on to other people. This is another thing that God has given Paul in a way. He's given him a job to do. And Paul is insistent that we should know that it's not him who's great, but that God's revelation is great. And that's why he talks about God's grace. This is God giving him what he doesn't deserve. So verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Who is great? It's God, isn't it? Not Paul. Verse 8, there's genuine humility here. Although I am less than the least of all of the Lord's people, he knows about his past. He knows how he persecuted Christians. Because this grace was given me, God's gift, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. God's revelation is wonderful. In fact, there are two things for Paul to preach. First of all, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Boundless or unsearchable. And these are the things that we've heard about in Jesus, aren't they? Remember cares? C-A-R-E-S, can you remember what that was? Chosen, adopted, redeemed, enlightened, sealed with the Holy Spirit. All those from chapter 1. And many more great riches in Christ. Here's Paul's job, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. So that's the first thing he has to preach. And then secondly, he has to preach to everyone, verse 9, to make plain to everyone, Jew and Gentile, the administration of this mystery. The fact that the mystery has been revealed. The fact that it's been made known, it's no longer hidden. The administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. So he goes around telling the Gentiles all that Jesus has done, and Jew and Gentile alike, that God has made it known that Jew and Gentile are to be brought together in Christ, and God's mystery is revealed. So God's revelation is indeed very great in Paul. He's to gospel the Gentiles and to enlighten everybody. There's a great gift that God has given to Paul. If you read a newspaper or on the online equivalent, you'll know that newspapers love to have revelations, don't they? They love it when they get something that nobody else has got from a source, and they can never name the source, and the judges in the courts always trying to get the names of the sources out of them. But no, it's a revelation. It's an exclusive. And mostly that's trash, gossip. But the wonderful thing about this revelation, exclusively through Paul, is that in it we see God's power truly at work. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll see how Paul really does fulfil this mission. He gospels the Gentile. He explains the good news of Jesus to them. He enlightens the Jews and the Gentiles. He tells them about what God has done in Christ. So Paul makes known the mystery to people. And then there's a third proclamation, a last stage in the relay race. Here it comes. The church makes known the mystery to the heavens. The church makes known the mystery to the heavens. The church is the people whom Paul has told about the gospel who have turned to Christ. And they have a job. We have a job. And it's part of God's eternal purpose. Part of God's eternal purpose that we make known the message of Jesus to the heavens. This is verses 10 to 12. His intent, God's intent, was that now, through the church, the people who come to know Jesus through the speaking of the message, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Manifold means many splendid. So again, all those wonderful riches that we heard about Jesus in the first couple of chapters. And who are these rulers in the heavenly realms, the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms? Well, the Bible isn't very specific. It just kind of leaves it there. We know that spiritual beings exist because the Bible speaks of messengers from God, doesn't it? Angelos, angels. It seems clear from what Paul says about them that they know what happens to us and they can see what the church does, God's people. And God, it seems, wants the whole universe, including these rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, to see what's going on this planet with God's people, the church, as God's great purposes come to fruition. And the message is heard, and the message is spread and proclaimed. How important is the church? You may think, here we are at 6:30 on a Sunday evening, not many of us here. But as we hear the message, and as God makes it seep into our hearts so that we gossip it with our friends and we talk about Jesus and we live it out, the rulers and realms and the heavenly authorities are seeing this. The rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms are seeing this. And those that are against God are dumbfounded by the fact that his eternal purposes are still happening. And those that are with him are rejoicing in heaven. God's eternal purpose. And this purpose is something that's accomplished by Jesus. The rulers, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known according to his eternal purpose, verse 11, that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. There are wonderful truths about the heart of our existence in Jesus. It's a part of God's eternal purpose that he should be known, that he should have completed what he did in his death and resurrection, that he should be known by Paul and by people and by the church and made known in the creation. Verse 12 is great, isn't it? Freedom. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom. Freedom from the old law, the law that kept Gentiles away from knowing God. The ceremonial law we heard about last week. Not just freedom, but confidence as well. No fear as we approach God, because there's no condemnation in Jesus, because he's died for us. What a wonderful verse. Something worth learning, maybe. Think of learn a memory verse this week. Why not learn Ephesians 3, verse 12. In him. And quick look, because I haven't learned it very well. Through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Ephesians 3, verse 12. So there's the last stage in the proclamations. Three proclamations. God makes known the mystery to Paul. Paul makes known the mystery to people. And people who end up trusting in Jesus make known, in other words, the church, make known the mystery to the heavens, to the whole creation. Well, three implications that follow from that. First of all, the wonder of salvation, or put in slightly more straightforward language, being saved by Jesus is brilliant. The wonder of salvation, being saved by Jesus, is brilliant. Here's verse 6. The mystery that Paul proclaims is, here it is revealed, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Wow. Co-heirs, together, Jew and Gentile, are going to inherit the kingdom of God in eternity. Wow. Members together of one body, co-members. We're members of Christ's body, united in Jesus. Sharers together in the promise. Wow, together with Jew and Gentile, we share in what Jesus promises, forgiveness, life, life beyond death, the hope of the future with him. These are the unsearchable, the boundless riches, aren't they, which Paul has heard and has made known. So when it comes to doing some sort of outreach event or thinking about talking to a friend about Jesus, we are sharing something that's brilliant, something that's wonderful. Claire came back from a conference once, and she had stopped at the reception to buy something for us on the way, Claire, me and George, on the way back. And it was a wonderful thing she bought. And as she came in, the first thing she shared was these things. It was their Stroop waffles, they're called. They're kind of biscuit. They're full of honey and sugar, and they're really delicious. She brought to us something wonderful. And as we share the gospel, we are sharing something wonderful as we bring it to people. It won't make them fat like a Stroop waffle will. It will have a transforming effect on their life. The wonder of salvation, being saved by Jesus, is brilliant. Second implication of this passage, the need for revelation. Or in other words, we need God to make things known. We need him to make things known to us. I once bought a home wash suit. Most of my suits you have to take to the dry cleaners. And that's a real pain in the neck. But this one said it's home wash. You can actually wash it in your washing machine at home. Ooh. You can bet the first time I washed it, I didn't just chuck it in the washing machine with everything else, did I? I read the instructions. Or at least I said, Claire, make sure you read the instructions. You need revelation, don't you? How are you going to wash your home wash suit? You need to know from the makers how to do that. You need it to be made known. And we need God to make known to us the good news of Jesus, the truth about the heavens and the universe that he has made known. And in every age, we obscure the truth, for people do, but people obscure the truth. They move around in darkness and they need light, in a fog of sin that needs to be blown away by the work of God the Holy Spirit. So we need revelation. And the Bible is the place where we get this revelation. It is God's truth. It is means of us having the mystery revealed to us. Otherwise we'd never know God's truth. This is why we submit ourselves to the Bible. I sometimes talk of it as being under the Bible's authority, rather than the Bible being under our authority. We sit under the authority of the Bible. That's why we encourage Bible reading at home. You know, if you have a chance to read the Bible at home, God will speak to you through it. God will reveal his mystery to you. The need for revelation. And then last but not least, the privilege of proclamation. It's great to tell people about Jesus. Verse 2, Paul says, "Surely you heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you." He thought this was a brilliant gift to have. It was wonderful that God gave him the gift that he could then share with them. And God has given us the same gift of sharing the good news of Jesus. He's revealed it to us so that we can pass it on. And so when we do outreach events and that sort of thing, that's a great thing to do. And when Claire is going to stand up and speak, maybe just for a few minutes at the Ladies' Craft Morning, about Jesus and he's a great treasure. That's not an easy thing for her to do. It needs great courage. But it's a great thing. And if you're thinking of going along, you might be thinking of taking a friend and saying to them, "Oh, there is going to be a talk about Jesus." And you know that's something you feel might jar. But it's great. It's a privilege. It's a wonderful mystery that's proclaimed and that we make known. So, verse 13, Paul ends by saying this, "I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." Funny end, isn't it? It reminds us that he's in prison as he writes this, and that they may have been discouraged. And they may think, well, is this where Jesus Christ as Lord gets you, in prison? No, it really reminds you that the world hates the truth that has been revealed. And even though he's in prison, he has been the one to whom God has made known this wonderful mystery so that we can pass it on. I wonder what the next event that you could invite someone to is. Perhaps it is the Ladies' Craft Morning. Perhaps it's something else we have planned for the future. It's difficult to invite people, isn't it? And sometimes they do say no. But remember as you're doing that and planning for it, that we have, as it were, light and darkness. We have a revelation from God that God wants us to make known. And maybe sometimes you do get turned down. Persevere. Persevere, because it's treasure that we have to hand on. And as we wait for that event to happen, whatever it is, pray. Pray that at that event, for those who are there, whether it's people who have been managed to be invited or not, what is hidden to people about God would be revealed as the message about Jesus is made known. Let's pray. In him and through faith in him, our Lord Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've made known this mystery to us, and you want it known through us to the world and to the heavens. Thank you for the great opportunities we have together, working together as a body to make you known. And we long that more people would hear the message as we speak it, that we'd have greater success with our invitations, that we'd be able to get into parts of Morden, to roads and blocks of flats and places where we've never met people and known people. But we thank you that the mystery you've given us to proclaim is indeed a glorious mystery, a wonderful gift of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.